welcome to part three of our series, How to Live Through a Bad Day. Right up front, let me just take a moment to welcome all those that are just now joining us online. So glad to have you along for the ride. Come on, everybody, let's give it up for those that are joining us. Good to have you here today. And also, let me just take a moment to give a shout out to this amazing worship team. Did you guys enjoy this worship this morning? I was just soaking it in, and I appreciate them. These guys just are so dedicated, and Pastor Dwayne does a phenomenal job as our worship pastor, alongside of Pastor Steve Guptill, who does an amazing job as our music director. Some of y'all don't know what that means, but music director means he's over here calling some shots here, and y'all can't hear him in their ear, and arranges some stuff, and they all spend a lot of time behind the scenes, extra hours that you guys are not aware of, and I just want to say how much I appreciate and value them bringing value to this place and making an eternal difference, and so we love you guys. Come on, one more time, can we thank them for what they do? I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Let me just jump right into this series, really enjoying this. This series is actually based on the final seven things that Jesus said while being crucified for us. These seven things, you have to go actually to all four Gospels to see all of these as they were written from different perspectives. There was a book written by Pastor Jack Hayford entitled this. It was entitled this topic, which is How to Live Through a Bad Day. And so we're building a series around that leading up until Easter. And I hope that you realize that Easter is just around the corner and that you're already inviting people and making plans to pack this place out and see people come to Christ. They say if there's a time of year that's a good time to invite somebody, it's for Easter. And so people won't come when they'll come when they won't normally come at any other time. So be sure and be inviting. And we're going to be concluding this message with a message that I just can't wait to deliver on Easter Sunday. I wanted to kind of start with that one. But anyway, just want to jump into this. Let's begin right off the bat with our theme verse that's found in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. There in your worship guide, you'll find the message notes. You can follow along, fill in some blanks here. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says this, keep your eyes on Jesus. That's good right there. That's a message all in of itself. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. And then look what it says, study how he did it. And that's what we're doing. We're looking to him because as he was hanging on the cross, giving us those seven statements, they're really life lessons. They're principles that we can use when we are facing our worst of days. Jesus had his worst day ever so that you could go through your worst day. And so we're going to study how he did it. That's what the series is based on. And look at this. Because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that exhilarating finish in and with God. So he saw beyond the cross and he saw you and I. And he saw beyond the pain and he saw where God's purpose in that pain was. There's always purpose in our pain. But look what he says. He could put up with anything along the way. The cross, the shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor right alongside of God. And so we're taking these 7 weeks to look at this series. The first week, we looked at the first thing that Jesus said, which was that we were to be forgiving. He said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. It was the very first thing we need to do when we're going through a bad day is to forgive one another. And if you missed that, I encourage you to go back online at crosspointworshipcenter.com. We've got those messages archived there. You can listen to that one, download the notes. And so that's really foundational. We need to start there. If you don't get that one, the rest of them really don't help you because you need to start with forgiveness. That's where God starts with us, is with forgiveness. Then last week we looked at how he taught us to be compassionate. While going through that pain, he took time to turn to a thief on the cross beside him and say, today you'll be with me in paradise. And yet while he was in pain, he recognized that there was one beside him that had a need. And I think sometimes we forget that when we're going through our bad day of how we need to be also compassionate of those around us. And so today's message is going to tie very much into that. Dovetail very much into last week's with this next principle. And I'm going to set it up with this verse that's actually found in the Gospel according to John. John sort of liked his highlight real. You know, when John spoke of himself, he referred to himself in a kind of a different third-person kind of way, and he paints himself in a positive light throughout. But this account is only found in John's account because it references him in here. But look at John chapter 19, verses 25 through 27, and look at what it says. It says, near the cross. Now, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother. Now, notice that near the cross, there was other people hurting as well, not near to the extreme of what Jesus was going through, but they actually put themselves in a dangerous place even being there, but they went on and they followed him even to the cross. But look at what it's recorded here, that near the cross of Jesus stood his mother and then his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and then Mary Magdalene. So there were three Marys there that were witnessing this scene. And look what it says. It says that when Jesus saw, I want you to notice that Jesus was in pain, but instead of just seeing himself and his own pain, he saw others. He looked and he saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved, is the way John writes it. He's referring to himself. The disciple whom he loved standing nearby. And he said to her, "Dear woman, here is your son," referencing her to John. And then to the disciple, he said, "Here is your mother." And from that time on, this disciple took her into his arms. So if you can get a picture of this scene, Jesus had been going through this process of crucifixion. He had been beaten and spit upon, and he was nailed to the cross, a crown of thorns put upon his head. He had the weight of the sin of the world upon him. There's no way to describe the intensity of what he was going through like no other human being. He not only had physical pain, but he had the weight of the sin of every person that had ever lived and ever will live on the face of this earth upon himself, taking that all for you and me, the punishment that he bore for us. And he did no wrong. He was a spotless lamb, and yet he was there taking all that for us. And he was in that place, and yet while he was going through all that, he was able to look out and he was able to see the needs of another one. I want you to tell you that God sees where you are and he sees what you're going through. But sometimes when we're going through a bad day, it's difficult for us to see beyond our own pain. You know, if you're like me, when I'm going through pain, buddy, it's all about me. Now, I know women have this high tolerance, endurance for pain when it comes to childbirth and all those things. Let me tell you, when I get sick, it's all about me. Take care of me. I need some tender love and care. I need somebody to come and ease my pain. I need some help here. And in fact, I've been sick before, and I remember saying these words, you know, just moaning, and my wife would say to me, "Honey, you're not dying." And I remember saying these words, "Are you sure that I'm not dying?" Because, you know, I mean, and pain does that. Pain will blind us to everything going on around us. And so today's principle is about being aware. Sometimes we lose awareness. And there's some things that we need to be aware of, because pain will blind us, and pain actually will distort reality. It will distort reality. We get real selfish when we're in pain. We get real selfish when we're having a bad day. Because, you know, I'm having a bad day, and so I deserve something here. You know, we get real selfish. And if we're not careful, we have a pity party. You know, no party like a pity party, right? Because a pity party never ends. Woo-hoo! Yeah, there you go. Thank you for the whoop-whoop. I mean, you throw a pity party and then nobody comes, or if somebody does come, it's that person that, you know, we hate and we dislike, and why are you doing here? And I'm sorry shows up, and I'm pitiful shows up, and I don't know what I'm going to do shows up, you know, and we just kind of waller in that place of self-pity, or we're getting a bad mood. You ever just wake up in a bad mood? Just wake up, bad mood. And you don't know why you're in a bad mood. And the bad mood follows you around all day. It's like this cloud that follows you around all day. And it not only rains on you, but it rains on other people around you, because when you're in a bad mood, you're going to affect somebody else. I'll never forget, you remember, you got these classic little phrases you remember from your growing up years. And I remember one, my sister one day came home and something irritated her, and she said, "I'm in a good mood. Don't get me out of it." And I'm thinking, well, yeah, well, that was easy. That didn't take much. You know, I'm in a good mood, and don't get me out of it. And sometimes we're that way. We're just in a bad mood. What reality is, and we're hurting people around us. Hurting people hurt people. We know that. And so you may not be aware then that when you're hurting, you can also be hurting others. In fact, oftentimes it's that we're hurting those that are the closest to us. It's the ones that are the closest to us that can hurt you the worst, and oftentimes because they matter the most. But sadly, the ones that matter the most are the ones that are closest to us, and we are set at a fence oftentimes against them. We lose awareness of the fact that we're hurting them, and because at times when we take the ones around us for granted, we neglect sometimes. We're aware of their needs because we become self-centered on our own needs. We're going through a bad day. And again, I'm saying bad day. It may be more than a bad day. It may be a bad week for you. It may be a bad month or a bad season that you're in. But I want to show us how we can get to a life, a place where life is good, and we can survive that and get to a better place. First of all, we need to understand this, and that is, write this down, we need to be sure and take care of those closest to us. Okay, so be sure to take care of those closest to you when you're going through a bad day. Too often, we take those closest to us for granted. Too often, we have the least patience for them. Because, well, they should just know better. Right? If you're working in customer service and you've been, you know, maybe your customer service is across a counter and you're dealing with customers that are coming and you have to present the company face, and so you got crazy people that come up to you and your patient is everything with them because that's your job. And you're just nice and patient and care about them, and then you exhaust all your patience on them and you come home. And then, man, you just blow up on the family. And you're thinking, well, can I have a little bit of that you gave to your customers, right? And we do that. We are so easy to offend those that are closest to us. And it's worse often, it's the ones closest to us that we have conflict with. It could be a spouse or a sibling or a brother or a sister. And we think, well, it's him, it's her, if he would straighten up, if she would straighten up, it's my brother or my sister. And we need to be singing that song, "It's not my brother or my sister, oh Lord, it's me standing in the need of prayer." But we like to do the blame game. It's like Adam and Eve, when all was going on and God began to investigate the situation, Adam said, "Well, God, it's that woman that you gave me. So, hey, I didn't do, you know, it wasn't me. I mean, it was her. In fact, you're the one. Hey, you're the one that gave her to me." You know, we do that. We play the blame game. And so, and let me just lighten this up a little bit here. You know, in an argument, they say the woman always has the last word. Guys, you know that. You know you have that. The women have the last word. In fact, if the guy says anything after that, it's just the beginning of a new argument. That's what it is. So. And we get to the point sometimes when we're having conflict, especially with those closest to us, that we say, well, look, I just don't care anymore. The fact is, we do care. But I want us to look at how we live through a bad day when it involves those closest to us. When you're going through a bad day, how does it involve those around you? And we can see Jesus here on the cross, example of Jesus, that he was very much aware. Now, we're going to present today is going to take some faith, because none of us want to do these things on our own in our own flesh, but When we take a step of faith, there's something that happens when we take a step of faith. In fact, when you take a step of faith, what a step of faith is, it's a step into something that makes no sense. But on the other side of that, there's a miracle waiting, there's freedom waiting, there's life waiting. And we can see this happen when we follow the example of Jesus that he gives us. So to set this up, let me give you some stages of conflict. Let me give you this scripture to begin with in James chapter 4 and verse 1 with a couple of questions here. It says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? That's something to consider. Oftentimes we think, well, if she would straighten up or if he would straighten up, he knows what irritates me, and he presses my buttons on purpose. Or she knows, you know, and so it's always he, she, right? When the fact of the matter is, oftentimes our battle is within ourself. But there's stages of conflicts that happens when we're having conflicts that really apply especially to family members as well. The first stage is a stage of withdrawal. So we withdraw when there's conflict. There's a distance that happens. There's a separation that happens. Sometimes it happens because of an offense. Sometimes it happens just because of neglect. Relationships do not manage themselves. We're married, and the next thing we know, we have neglected things, and we're miles apart, and same thing can happen with our kids. Same thing can happen with God, that we have to maintain that relationship. And then there's conflicts that happens where someone then has a conflict and we decide we're going to just shut that person out. We're going to shut that person out. Sometimes it happens literally. Other times it happens internally, that we've shut them out. And so we put protective walls up and we devise ways to protect ourselves against bad things and bad people and people that are going to hurt us. But when we do that, as I've shared with you before, we not only shut out bad things, we also shut out good things, and then no one can touch us. We're untouchable. Nothing phases us. And so we just build up this hard exterior. And we know that device does not work because we're still in pain. We're still hurting. We're hurting majorly on the inside. And so there's that withdrawal. Then the next thing happens, it begins to escalate when we're in that place. And that is when the situation becomes bigger than the situation. It was a small thing, but now I'm not even sure what I got mad about in the first place, but I know it was big, and it just gets bigger, and it evolves, and it escalates. And then we start belittling one another, which is another stage of conflict. And so we can't rectify the situation and the conflict, so we start pulling them down rather than rising to a new level, which is what I'm praying that happens today. We rise to a new level. We start pulling them down and belittling them. Hate this. Hate this. I hate it. I'm just going to tell you right up front, if I'm ever out with you my wife and I are with you and you're another couple and we're going out to eat with you, if one of you starts to belittle the other one, you're going to make me very uncomfortable because I can't stand that. Can't stand it. We think, well, it's humorous. It's just a joke. It's in jest. Hate it. Hate it. Hate it. Just a little personal. Get a little personal there with you. But because when you first were dating, I mean, everything she did, the sun rose and set in her, and you loved her, and her hair, all it shone, her eyes sparkled, everything's wonderful. And then now somewhere down the road, well, you know, the old lady and woman, no. And that is because it's a stage of conflict. There's something else going on there. We start belittling one another. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. And we need to get past this stage, but that's a stage that happens. And then what then takes place is a stage of false belief. And this is where the enemy gets involved. Okay? This is where you're reading things into the story that never existed. You're listening to people that don't know the facts, and there's lies being poured into your life, and you're adopting those lies. And one of the greatest weapons of the enemy are lies. It's lies. The Bible says he's the father of lies. That's what he does. And so that thing now is you're into this place of false belief. And then the enemy starts speaking into your eye, into your ears, you know, if it's a situation with a spouse and he starts saying, it will never work, it's never going to work out, or you didn't love him or you didn't love her in the first place, you never did, really, and starts speaking lies to you. And you get into this place of false belief. And then you start listening to your own reasoning. And can I tell you, when you're hurting and when you're in a place of conflict, you're the last person you need to listen to. Because you're clouded. You can't trust you. Because you're in this place of false belief. And then hostility sets in between you and them. And can I tell you that hostility is not the condition between you and another person, but rather hostility is the condition of your soul. It's when you allow that thing to come in and to infect what you believe and what you live. And that means that even when you're not around that person, you have no peace and you have no joy. Now, this list is a list. But this list, I want us to see, is the same condition that you and I were in with God before we found Christ. And here's what I want to give you that you can do about this. Ephesians chapter 2. It's not in your notes, but write this down. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 says, remember, which means there may be some things that we've forgotten that we need to remind ourselves of, that we need to be aware of. Remember that at the time you were separated from Christ without hope and without God in the world, you were in the same place. Okay, maybe they did wrong, but you were there. You were without hope. You were separated. But now in Christ Jesus, you who are far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. So that means that you didn't just wise up and have this eureka moment, oh, I'm going to go to church and I'm going to start getting this thing resolved. No. You were brought near to Christ through what he did on the cross when he's hanging there bleeding, aware of you, laying his life out there for you because he loves you. You were brought near because of what Christ did, nothing that you and I did. Look at what it goes on to say. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall, of hostility. That arriving place that you come through that false belief of hostility, Jesus destroys that through what he did at the cross. So we need to, first of all, remember what Jesus did. We need to remember what Jesus did for us and where we were and where he brought us from. It goes on later in that same chapter to say this. It goes on to say, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. As if that's simple. God, you know, you make it sound real simple. I can't just do that. That's hard to do. But look at this. He says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. Here's the catch, though. Just as in Christ, God forgave you. So it's remembering when you're in conflict with somebody. There's some things that you need to be aware of. First of all, God forgave you, and so we need to forgive others just as God forgave us. So we need to be aware. Let me give you this scripture. This is in your notes here. Romans 15 and 5. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus. May I also say, as you're following Christ Jesus, what that means is that you're following his example. So he's having a bad day, he's hanging on the cross, but he is aware of the needs of someone else while hanging on the cross. It's amazing, though, when you look at what Jesus did and how he brought down that dividing wall of hostility. It was Jesus that initiated the process. And yet he was the one that didn't do anything wrong. But yet he took care of it on the cross so that you and I could have peace when we're having a bad day, right? So let me give you some practical things that I believe will help you that we need to be aware of. Number one, write this down. Be aware of God's view of them. Now, these things you can't do on your own. and your own ability, it's going to take a mix of faith. You're going to have to step out and do this in faith. And when you do, that's when God gives you the capacity. Don't you know, again, back to the scripture that we just read. Remember what Christ did for you. When he comes in and he forgives you, then he gives you the capacity to forgive others. He gives you the capacity to become aware. He gives you the capacity to see something beyond just yourself and your own problem and make you aware of something else. And when you do that, here's what happens, though. When you become aware, it helps you in the process. Okay? So again, back to this point. Be aware of God's view of them. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Newsflash, God loves them too. That one that's trying to ruin your day, that one that's just your thorn in the flesh, that one that you just can't seem, you're praying, God, either change them or move them out of the office, something, God, just guess what? God loves them too. He sees them as well. He sees their need. He is no respecter of persons. So what we must pray is, God, to help us to become aware of your view, God, of them, and help me to see things through your eyes. Because here's how God sees them. He doesn't just see their behavior, which is oftentimes all we see. He sees beyond their face, he sees their heart. He sees beyond their fault, and he sees their need. And aren't you thankful that that's what God did for you and I? He saw beyond our mistakes, our failures, our faults, and he said, there's a need there. I'm going to reach out to them because of their need. And God calls us to do the same. He invites us to do the same. Be aware of God's view of them. Oftentimes, it was brought up in our huddle this morning how Jesus, he would see the crowds, he would see the multitudes, and he would be moved with compassion. So God not only saw their need, he did something about it. For God so loved the world that he not only just loved the world, but he gave for the world. He gave himself. He gave his Son. He gave his all. He loved us that much. And so when we become aware and we see things through God's view, may it move us with compassion to them and to see them through God's eyes. How do we see the things? How do we see people close to us? How do we see those in our own household? Are they a nuisance or are they a blessing? The sock in the corner. The toothpaste cap, not on the toothpaste. The lid, up or down. I mean, you know, I'm just keeping it real here. Are we just aggravated that we have to put up with that? Or are we so thankful that we've got a spouse to be able to leave the sock in the corner, right? How do we view those closest to us? Do we see them as a blessing or do we see them as a problem? Do we see them as a failure or do we see their potential? Thank God, God sees us in our potential, right? Good amen right there. That's thank you. Give me another, come on everybody, a better amen right there. God sees our potential. That's why today we're doing Discovery 301 because to help you discover how God has made you. See, God sees your potential. He sees what you can be. He sees your future. He doesn't just see your past. He sees what you can be. He sees you through the redeeming ability of his Son, Jesus, who redeems you back to what you're originally made to be, right? So God's view of them. We need to see things and see people differently. Be aware of God's view of them. Number two, let me give you this one. Be aware of the power of your words. Be aware of the power of your words. Proverbs 18:21. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So the tongue has the power of life and death. So you can encourage someone to life or you can discourage someone to death with your tongue. I heard of a youth pastor who he had a youth group in his church and he would come early every evening before the youth night and he would set things up and get things in place. Had to set the chairs out. He kind of had to do it all and he said there was a girl there in the youth group that would come early, obviously because her parents had something else to do in another ministry somewhere in the church, and she would come early and she'd sit in, near the back, and she'd kind of just sit there. But said when the youth group would start, all the youth, you know, they'd be taking notes and be into the service, and she'd be back there cutting up, talking to others, you know, just disrespectful, and it was every week, just on and on and on, just every week. And he had got to the point where, you know, he just had enough. And he realized the only reason she wanted to be there because her parents was there in the church, and she had nowhere else to be, and so she really didn't like him, didn't appreciate his ministry, didn't care, and so she was just disrespectful. And so he thought to himself, well, I've had enough. And so he said, when she comes tonight, I'm going to talk to her. And he had the speech ready. He had it memorized in his head, the speech he was going to give her. He was going to go up to her before anybody else got there and say, here's the speech. What's your deal? I mean, what's your deal? Do you want to be here or you don't? Because if you don't want to be here, I mean, why don't you leave? Because all you do, you obviously don't want to be here. You just distract the whole thing. And, you know, what's your deal? And so, I mean, he had it memorized, had it rehearsed. I mean, he had it down pat, the speech he was going to give her. And he said that it came, and he said he started walking towards her to give her the speech that he was ready to give her. And he said as he got just a couple of feet away from her, the Holy Spirit checked him and said, don't you do it. Don't you do it. And he's like, but I got my speech. Don't you do it. I'm telling you, don't you go there. And he got up to her, and he says, you know the thing I love about you? And he's thinking, that's not the speech. That's not the speech. The speech is, that's not the speech. Where does this, you know? And he said, you are the most faithful person in this youth group. You're always here early, and you're always here. And he turned around, walked away, and said, what was that? What was that? You know, he wanted to give her the speech that was a little more real than the one he actually gave her, you know, that he really felt. He walked away from that, and that very night, she leaned in. She listened, and she gave her heart to the Lord that night. You see, there's life in the tongue. And if he would have cursed her instead of blessed her, who knows? She may have left and never come back. She may have never come to Christ. Can I tell you the same thing is true in your house, with your wife, with your husband, with your kids? Some of you have prophetic ability in the tongue. Did you know that? As a parent, can I tell you, you're the most influential person in the life of your child. Forget what they say. Forget that they act like they can't, that you're dumber than dirt and don't know what you're talking about, Dad. Oh, come on. And you're not cool. And they roll their eyes at you. You know, let me tell you something. You're the most influential person in their life. And what you say over them is very prophetic. If you call them dumb and stupid, guess what? They'll probably turn out dumb and stupid. But if you say, you're brilliant, you're a leader, you're awesome, you're God's man, you're God's woman, God has plans for your life, God's hand is upon you, and you speak favor and blessing over them, and when they go out of the door at the beginning of the day, you say, be a leader, not a follower, and represent Christ. When I take my sons to school, I'm driving them to school, about half of the way there, it's a prayer. Y'all surprised by that, right? It's a prayer, and I'm praying over them and blessing them and declaring they're going to do good in their school and they're going to have good friends and good relationships. Come on. What we say with our tongue is important. We need to watch what we say. Be aware of your words, right? And can I tell you, let me just follow this up before I get off of this point. I'm going to wrap this up, but look at this. We need to be careful not just what we say, but we need to say what we need to say. What I'm trying to say is, help me, y'all. Sometimes you think, well, I don't need to say anything. She knows. She knows how I feel. She knows I love her. He knows. And then all of a sudden there's distance because nothing's been said. There's not only death in the tongue, there's life in the tongue. Speak life. Speak love. Speak unity. Speak caring. Be aware that your wife needs to hear it, right? Speak it. Say it. Say three little words. I love you. Here's a couple of more. I'm sorry. Okay. Here's a real good one for you guys. Yes, dear. Okay, I'm just saying. But speak those things. Speak those things that you need to speak. It reminds me of the couple in the truck. You know, you've heard this story before, but it works here, okay? He's over here driving, and she's over here on her side, and they used to sit real close. This is before seatbelt law, y'all, okay? And he's driving, and she looks over at him. She says, "When did we become so far apart?" And he looked over and said, "I haven't moved." You know, you got to maintain this thing, right? Got to maintain this thing. Care for one another. Speak words of life. Number three, let me move on. Be aware of what you did. Write that down. Be aware of what you did. Matthew 7:3, verses 3 and 4. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Let me take the speck out of your eye," when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? We used to call it a splinter and a 2x4. So we've all made mistakes. There's no one perfect. At best, we're all a mess. On our best of days, we're all a mess. And what you reap, you're going to sow. I didn't say that right. What you sow, you're going to reap. Y'all work with me. What you sow, you're going to reap. So I don't know about you, but I need mercy. So why not sow mercy? Why not sow some grace into someone else's life? The Bible says all we like sheep have gone astray. There's none righteous, no, not one. We all have issues, and I've said it before, and if you think I got no issues, that's your issue. Because pride goes before a fall, right? And that's why we have small groups, so you can work through your issues and work those things out. Pride goes before a fall. That leads me to my next point. Be aware of what you should do. Be aware of what you should do. 1 Peter 5 says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Be aware. Gave you the wrong verse, didn't I? Be aware of what you should do. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. Sorry, guys. 1 Peter chapter 3. Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but blessing, because to this you were called, that you may inherit a blessing. Now look at that. What he's saying is, be a blessing, and when you are a blessing, it's going to return to you, and you're going to inherit a blessing. So be aware of what you should do. Well, I know what I want to do. I want to get even. No, don't give them what they need. Don't give them what you want to give them. Give them what they need, right? Give them what they need. And when you do that, there's a miracle. When you bless them instead of curse them, you're going to inherit a blessing. What you sow, you're going to reap. So be aware of what you should do and do it. Number five, be aware of what God will do. Be aware of what God will do. 1 Peter chapter 5. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Be aware. Can I just remind you of this? God's aware. He sees you. He cares. Jesus took enough time to look down and see his mother there and be concerned about her future and her being taken care of. The Bible says we can cast all of our cares on him, for he cares for us. We need to be aware of what God will do. He has a bright future for you and I. Right? He has future plans for you. I had a dream this week. Me and Kim have been dreaming a lot of dreams lately. I had a dream, and I just remember, without giving you all about the dream, I just remember waking up with this repeated refrain, God's going to see us through. God's going to see us through. God's going to see us through. And you may be in a season where you say, I don't know how I'm going to make it through this season. I don't know how I'm going to make it through this. I've come with a reminder today. God sees where you are. He's aware. He cares. And he has a plan for your future. He put a plan in place for his mother. John, take care of your mother. From then on, he took her in his home and took care of her. I'm going to tell you, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know how difficult the situation is. But all I know is God's going to see you through. Can I get a good amen right there? God's going to see you through. He has a plan for you. He's aware. He's not like far removed. And I know sometimes you think, well, God, do you know what's going on here? Are you concerned? Do you know where I am? Do you know what I'm going through? He knows where you are. He knows what you're going through. And you may feel like nobody cares. Nobody cares. When you're going through a bad day, oftentimes it feels that way. Everybody's going on about their business, but I've been left in the dust here, God. Where are you? What am I going to do? See, God cares about you. And he has great compassion. And he's there to meet your need. He's there to take care of you. As we're talking about being aware of what God will do, I just want to remind you of what God has already done. He gave his only son to die on the cross. And everything that you'll ever go through, Jesus suffered it for you. So that on your worst of days, he can identify with you. And he's there interceding to the Father, saying, Father, I know what they're going through. I know what that feels like. And he's praying for you that you're going to make it. And he's going to see you through. In the process of what you're going through, he's going to open your eyes to make you aware that, yeah, I'm going through a bad day, but there's others that are going through a bad day too. And as you help them, guess what? As you bless them, you're going to inherit a blessing, and God's going to, in due time, God's going to bring you to the place where you need to be. What he did on the cross for you and I was he gave his life so that we could experience life. He died so that we could live. He took a punishment for everything that we'll ever go through so that we wouldn't have to. Amen? You see, sometimes we're going through a bad day because it's somebody else's fault, but sometimes we're going through a bad day because it's our own fault, truth be told. But even at that, Jesus stepped up and said, it's okay. I'll take it for him. And everything that we ever did, all our mistakes, all of our sins, he put upon himself and he paid for them. He paid for them so you wouldn't have to. So that you could have a new beginning. So that you could have a new life. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? I don't know how difficult the situation may be in your life, whatever bad day you may be going through. You may feel like it's a 10. And I don't know if it's really a 10 or if that's just a perception. But it's a big deal. It's a big deal. I'll tell you, whatever touches you touches God. God cares about it. But everything that you need, he provided for you at the cross. And took it on himself. I want to give you an opportunity just to make sure that everything that you're going through is laid at the foot of the cross. Again, casting all of our cares on him, the Bible says, because he cares for us. Truth is, we're not able to handle it ourselves, but he is. So I want to give you an invitation today to surrender it all to him. And maybe you're here today and you haven't really ever surrendered your life to the Lord, or perhaps you have, but somehow or other you've not been faithful to him and you're not in the right relationship. I want to help lead you in a prayer today. If you're watching online, I encourage you to pray this along with us. Or if you're here today, I encourage you, just join me in this prayer and just make it yours, just mean it. And let me just lead you in a prayer of commitment, giving it to God, casting your cares on him, and let him just relieve, take that burden off of himself and on himself, off of you and on himself. I want to pray with you right now. And if you're here today and you need to pray this kind of prayer, I'm not going to embarrass you or have you come to the front, but I'm just going to simply say, if you need prayer, would you just slip up a hand? Just let me know, with no one looking around, just slip up a hand, and I just want to know who I'm praying with. God bless you today. Yes. Yes. Good job. Yes. Yes. Amen. And if you're watching online, simply join with us. Come on. I want everybody to pray this for support. Just pray it out loud. Just pray this. Just say, today, God, I cast all my cares on you. I give you my life. I invite you to come in. Forgive me of my mistakes and my failures. I turn from that to you. With all my heart, I give myself to you. With all my heart, I invite you to come in. Live inside of me. Make me aware. Help me to see through your eyes. Change me on the inside. Give me the capacity to be compassionate as you are to me. Thank you for taking everything on the cross, paying my debt so I don't have to. I accept you now as my Lord, Lord of my heart, King of my life. I surrender all. With all my life, I will follow you. With all of my heart, I will serve you as you help me. In Jesus' name. Thank you for every person, God, that prayed that prayer, needed to pray it. God, and I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, God, you would just come on the inside. You would do things for them that they cannot do for themselves, oh God, so that you will enable them, empower them to do those things you've called them to do. Oh, Father, I pray, Father, your blessings upon us, that you would help us, God, to be aware of those around us, to see through your eyes, to be compassionate, God, to be forgiving, God, to follow your example. God, through your help, all things are possible. Help us, God, to follow you fully. Let your light shine, that they may see our good works, but glorify you, Father. And we'll give you all the credit in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Come on, let's thank God for these decisions that were made today. We rejoice with you today. Amen.